are my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast. Very fun episode for you this week. You need to listen to this. This whole episode is going to make you a better doctor, have a better day-to-day schedule. Your life is improved by listening to this one podcast. We have a little office talk. We have the closing thought of the episode. This is the Ultimate OD Podcast. Here we go.
Welcome to Optometry, the Ultimate OD Podcast, building better doctors one episode at a time. Here's your host, optometrist and practice owner, Dr. Nick Lilly.
All right, my friends, the Ultimate OD Podcast, thank you for listening, sending us emails, liking us on Facebook, Instagram, all the social media channels, Dr. Lilly at theultimateod.com. Send me an email. I'd love to hear from you. We are in a weird time right now. And one of the things that we're dealing with is it's hard to find good staff. It's hard to keep good staff. They have a plethora of options, the ones that you have, and the ones that you're looking to hire, I'm not going to lie to you, they're not great. Okay, I've had a lot of turnover the past 6 months. Initially, a lot of it was, you know, people wanting different phases of life. Well, since then, I've made some hires. I've had to let two people go. Just to be flat out honest, horrible. They were making my office worse. One, incredibly lazy, didn't want to work. The other one, great person, tried to work hard, I think, but was actually making my office worse because she couldn't put an appointment on the schedule correctly, or she'd make an appointment and not put it on the schedule. We like triple booked in times. That is my nightmare, and I had to let that go. All right. This is a tough time. So one of the things that I always like to say, this happens with parenting, that happens with your office, you name it, either you're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. All right. So if something's happening, people are showing up late, people aren't doing things the right way, not treating customers the way you want them to, you're teaching that or you're allowing it to happen. All right. Case in point, that person that was not doing making appointments right, either that's how I was teaching them or I was just going to let that happen. If I let that happen, it was going to affect everyone, right? Get it out. So let me bring up a couple of things that I want to illustrate that point with. Number one, got a little group of other optometrists that I talk to quite a bit. We kind of run ideas off of each other. It's awesome because they're all private practice owners, but they all think a little differently than I do. Okay, and I love to get their perspective. Well, one of the guys on there had a staff member who used to be his best staff member. She was older than most of the staff, and she just could do everything. Well, over the past year and a half, she's kind of, you know, her abilities have declined. She's not as good. She keeps making mistakes, and the people around her who used to look up to her are outworking her. Now, the problem with this was she's getting paid about $6 more an hour than everyone else. Okay. And my friend was asking me, you know, have you guys ever, you know, demoted a staff member or cut their wage? And I've never demoted a staff member and I've never done that. And I was like, well, have you talked to her? Is there something going on? Is it whatnot? And these had numerous conversations and it just, she's kind of oblivious to it. Didn't know what was going on, and you know, so he's looking for ideas, and I'm like, well, what can she do? Is there anything she is doing well? And there were a few things where she was actually, if she stayed in her lane, she was actually very good. Now, still overpaid, but very good. I'm like, well, is there a way that you can, you know, just have her do what she's doing and go from there? And she's like, he's like, yeah, but he's kind of getting kind of beat up about paying her more money, right? She's still making more. Like, well, is it bad enough that you want to get rid of her? And he was very anti getting rid of her. Okay, he non-confrontational, doesn't want to cause a rift in the office, and he's already short-staffed. All right, couple of things I'll say there. One, you cannot put yourself in the position that you are that dependent on a staff member that if they start messing up, you're going to keep them around because at that point they own you, right? That's not an office you want to be in. Never let it get that bad. Right? I'd rather cut a staff member and down schedule my schedule to be adequately staffed for what I have and just not see as many patients, because I'm not going to let a staff member own me in that regard. Okay. That's not my MO. Okay. He didn't want to do that. He didn't want to get rid of her. So do you actually think you can ask a staff member to take a pay cut? You know, in times of COVID, when everything else was doing that, I think you could have got away with saying, hey, we're all going to cut our wages so everyone keeps a job, versus I'm going to let people go. I think there's a certain culture that will let that happen. And today, this era right now that we're in, as I'm giving this podcast in fall of 2022, that's not going to happen. They have too many options. Too many people are looking for work. If you're going to try and do that, I think they're going to walk. Now, not a bad thing if you get them to walk if you don't want them to stay, right? But again, remember, you're short-staffed. So at that point, my advice was put her in her lane. Make sure she is very clear about where you want her to be. If she starts veering outside of the things that she's now messing up, that you can't let that happen. She's not going to be working for you. But keep her in her lane, and you got to eat that $6 wage difference, because you made that bet and you're not willing to fix it, right? And I think that's fine. If she doesn't accept that new role, she's got to go, all right? That was just something that came up, and I thought that was interesting to walk through. Now, let's bring me to my scenario. I had a staff member we hired to be a receptionist, okay? Had a background of working on phones, worked at a lawn care service, and did customer service. She was very upfront with us about her desire to go into optical to sell, even doing workups. She did not seem like that, but she's like, I handle phones. I'm good with spreadsheets. She can do pivot tables. She told us on Excel, which is a complicated thing, I'm told. So I'm like, all right, hey, we need help on the admin side. We will hire you to do the reception job. She was making a decent amount less than everyone else, but still getting insurance, getting benefits, and she was fine with that. Right? Great opportunity for her moving up, because her current job did not have the benefits she was looking for. And it was a little bit of a struggle. It was a little fast-paced. She was a little bit older, and we were patient, right? You know what? Hey, take your time. We're not asking you to know this now. You're going to be there. Just keep working hard. It seemed like she was working hard, but nothing was consistent, okay? She would sometimes she do the job like she needed to do. At other times, like when we're uploading chart notes from another office to a patient chart, she'd put it in a completely different patient. When we're having her make appointments, one time we were really short and she had to kind of swim, she was putting people in the exact wrong spots. Diabetics 30 minutes before close, making appointment slots that did not exist, in the middle of my lunch scheduling comprehensive appointments, just complete gong show. I'm like, hey, fix it. One day you'll either get better or you're going to get worse, and we'll see what happens. And I thought she got better after that. Well, little did we find out, she did not get better. We had a bunch of people come in that for appointments that she made but never put on the schedule. She was constantly uploading things to the wrong chart. I found out that when we write up a patient's order, we'll fill it out a certain way and then we'll scan it and scan it in. She couldn't do that. It was too overwhelming. She couldn't do it. My other staff members literally took it off her plate. And then on top of that, when we were having her get insurances ready for patients, every piece of work that she did had to be double checked. So you hear that. I already made an exception because, everyone else in my office is cross-trained, can do a little bit of everything. Why am I even paying her? Why is she even there if that's what she's going to do, right? And I talked to the rest of my staff members, my management team. I was like, hey, am I missing something here, or what are we doing here? And we came up with a game plan, and I was going to say, hey, this is not working. If you're willing to still work hard for the next 2 weeks, take 2 weeks. If you have to go to interviews or whatnot, I don't want to just cut you cold turkey. I'll give you 2 weeks to work or whatnot. And then one of my staff members, after I had that meeting with them, pulled me aside and said, hey, we can do that, but she's messed up on X, Y, and Z. a couple of patients that we took their insurance. She said we didn't take it. We found out that, she told them that, and we were able to salvage it. We found out that, just another couple of appointments that she didn't put on there, just disaster. I'm like, it would actually be worse for me to let her work here. I can't accept this level of ability. I'm like, we got to let her go. So basically, I brought her in the next day. This is not working. And she's like, oh, yep, that makes sense. You know, she was relieved. Okay. She was not liking the job. She loved the opportunity. She loved the people. She liked working for me, but it was too fast paced for her. But she was getting insurance that she wanted. She was getting paid more than she was. She wasn't going to just quit that. But when I kind of put it out there for her, she was super relieved and said, thank you. You know what I mean? Like, for the opportunity. And we left on good terms. Why do I bring that up? Why are we having this conversation? Remember what I said. You're either coaching it or you're letting it happen. Okay? Regardless of how this is handled or what you're doing, the rest of the staff is watching. Okay? There is going to be some level of animosity. Either, hey, you let her get away with this. I do this and this is how I get treated. Or, you know what? She's not even doing her job. I miss a week because I want to go on vacation, even though it's not approved. And you're going to let me go? I'm way better than her. Good luck without me. Right? Don't think people aren't looking over their shoulder. They're not looking next to them and saying, hey, I'm better than this person. Okay? You have got to set the culture. You have got to nip that in the bud. Otherwise, your better staff is going to have something happen and it's not going to go great, right? You control the narrative. You control the story. You control the culture. Make sure that you are making the office the way you want it to be. You are having everyone operate within the standard that you have set. The standard is the standard, and you cannot have exceptions to the standard. There has to be a minimum level of competency. Now, I'm not saying that everyone has to do the same job, but there's a certain level of ability that they have got to do and you have got to tolerate from them, right? If everyone in your office has the ability to make an appointment, the receptionist is the one that's screwing it up for everyone else, and they have more work because of her, that does not bode well. That's not a culture that you're going to want or that people are going to want to stay and work for, all right? Now, prior to COVID, I had a staff that wasn't great, but they showed up, okay? And prior to COVID, I was like, you know what? They show up. I'm just going to make this work, all right? I had a part-time person. I had a really good optician that was incredibly unreliable. And then I had someone that was very available with their schedule, great work ethic in the sense that she showed up every day, but just awful with patients, right? And I was too scared to fire them. I was my friend that was afraid to be confrontational, right? Well, you know what happened? It hindered my growth. It made my life more stressful. It made my staff's life more stressful, right? The part-time person was never on the same page as anyone because she wasn't there. The unreliable person was making more work for everyone else. And the person that sucked was making it harder for everyone else because they had to pick up where she let off. They had to, you know, cover for her mistakes, right? And I wasn't growing because I couldn't count on my staff to do what I needed them to do so I could focus on growing the office, all right? I was afraid to rock the boat, and that caused the office to plateau. At the time, I thought I was pretty stinking good. But you know what happened? I made changes. We got rid of the people that did not fit my vision for the future. I got a very vivid vision, okay? I knew what I wanted. I knew where I was going to go, and I hired with that purpose, right? And I held people to a standard. If they do not meet that standard, they're not going to work for me. If they can't buy into my vision, they're not right for my office culture. Now, again, that is very difficult in the environment that we're in right now, but I'm still growing. My office is getting better. I am seeing my medical side of my business grow leaps and bounds, and my optical side is staying just as strong as it was. I am seeing less patients this year, and I'm going to do more in gross revenue. How do you do that? You have a better staff. You're more efficient. You're doing higher end things like medical procedures. You're also doing selling more in optical, right? Because I have a better vision, I have a better staff, and I am holding them to that standard. Okay? You have got to remember that your staff will get better or they'll get worse. They'll never stay the same. Are you pushing them to be better? Are you constantly training them? I have a meeting once a month with my office, and then daily I have an office morning huddle. I go over things. I went to Vision Expo West and I saw some good offices out there. I talked to some other doctors, and some of these practices, every Friday they have an office meeting. They have a training session. And that's the amount of emphasis they are putting on their specialties, their niches. I'm trying to raise my game, right? I want to be that good. I want to be better. This is what it takes. It's not accepting what you have because you're afraid to rock the boat, all right? You're coaching it or you're allowing it to happen. You have got to be better than you are right now to get where you're going, okay? Your staff is going to be an anchor or a sail, all right? They're going to help you get to where you want to be, or they're going to hold you back. You need to surround yourself with people that are going to get you to where you want to go. And the unfortunate thing is, a lot of times the people that got you here are not the people that are going to get you there, all right? Keep raising your standards. Keep getting better. I want you to take stock this weekend, all right? Sit back. What is your vision for that office? What is your vision? Where do you want to be in 15 years? And then are you doing everything in your power to get there? Or are you happy with the status quo? Are you complacent right now? Are you letting the new graduate come for a piece of your pie? All right? Look at your staff. Are they the people that you need to get to the next level? Are they the people that are going to help you carry out that vision? All right? If they're not, is that because you're not training them, you're not pushing them, you're not giving them the ability to do that? Or are they just not the right people on the bus? All right? Either you need to get them in the right seats, or you need to get them off and get the right people on the bus. All right? What is holding you back? Is it you? Or is it your staff? Or is it some outside factor that you have control of that you're too lazy to do something about right now? Ask yourself that. Send me a message. I want to know. Really take stock. Where do you want to be? How are you going to get there? Are you willing to do it? That's what I have of more for you next week. All right, my friends, a little office talk. All right, so one of the big things that has been on my mind since I got back from Vision Expo West is not being a commodity. I hate that people think they can go anywhere and get the same experience because I sell glasses or contacts. I'm better than that. You're better than that. Call it ego, call it what you will. That's just what I feel. I think if you come to see me as a doctor, you are getting a better experience than another office. All right? I hope you feel that confident in your abilities. That's how I feel about my office. Okay? I don't want to be dependent on glasses and contacts. All right? I know it's necessary. I have to do it. But I do it because it helps me build what I'm passionate about. Okay? I like sclerals. I like myopia management to an extent. Okay? I'm one of the only people in the area that do it. I'm still getting referrals from other offices for it. I get referrals for sclerals. I really enjoy sclerals. All right? I like managing ocular disease. That's something that I feel I didn't give myself enough credit for, and I was holding myself back because I was investing in the wrong things. I bought a lot of things, a lot of pieces of equipment before I bought the OCT that has opened up my disease practice, right? I love that thing. I use it all the time. Patients are receptive to getting glaucoma evaluations, to tracking their macular degeneration. That was a great investment. So disease is a little different, right? I have the OCTA, visual field, fundus photos, topographer, axial biometer. I have a mybographer. I have these things. I am having a lot of fun with dry eye and ocular surface disease. No one wants to do it, and no one really has a great business model that I've seen around me. okay, around my area. There's a lot of ways to do this, and not everyone's focused on that. A lot of people are thinking pharmaceutical, okay? I like a lot of in-office procedures, naturally addressing the problem. But these are the things, those four things are what are going to help me not be a commodity, all right? I'm still going to see patients. Like, I was talking to one of my reps, the IPL, the Luminous rep, and he's like, the one thing that an office, a private practice, has an advantage over a dry eye center of excellence that does nothing but dry eye is, the dry eye center is dependent on people being referred to them. You can get people referred to you, like if you do it right, but you also inherently see patients every day. And he asked me the question, what number of patients do you see that have dry eye? And I'm not joking. Since I've been doing speed scores, speed tests on every single patient, looking at everyone's glands, you know, using vital dyes on 90% of my patients, honestly, 99% of them, 99.9, 18 and older, have dry eye to an extent. You know, is it symptomatic yet? Not all of them, but their eyes are drier, or they're dry based on the TFOS studies, the DEW studies, right? Man, that makes me feel good, right? This is how I'm going to grow my practice. These are the things that matter to me. These are what I've invested in over the past 4 years or 2 years, right? The thing I say about that is, if I was just starting this now, which I am for some of this, I always feel like I'm behind, right? If I would have started 2 years ago, look how far I've come. It takes time to start a practice. It takes time to build a niche. You have to hone your skills. You have to keep grinding. You have to make it better, right? Same thing when you're marketing, when you're getting on YouTube to promote your office, when you're doing a podcast like I do this. It takes time to find your voice, to do it right, to have the best way to communicate with patients in the exam room. You have to get in there, get your hands dirty, and figure it out, okay? Now, the beauty of what I'm doing right now is when I was just a refractionist, one of the worst things that I think was happening was I was burning myself out because it was a volume practice. And it was mindless, just, oh man, are they going to be mad with their glasses? Got to deal with this. RX check here, there. You know what I mean? Like, again, I have no problem doing it, but I didn't feel fulfilled. All right. Now that I've added these specialties, now that I'm growing my medical practice, the things that I have right now just... My day on Thursday, I had a 12-year-old patient, first pair of glasses, get that big old smile when she can see the trees. It's like, oh my goodness, it's so clear. That's awesome. That's fulfilling. I had a patient come in that had a recurrent corneal erosion that was just being treated with a bandage contact lens. Wanted a second opinion. Yes, I can give that opinion to you. You know, I think we can do more than a bandage contact lens. Started on doxy. We did a thorough case history. And not only she, you know, have the RCE history, she wasn't using any hypotonic solution at night, but she has a CPAP and was blowing air into her eyes. We got her some moisture goggles, talked to her about, you know, Miro 128, and we're going to address her dry eye. Boom, right? Like, there's a lot of things we can do to help this patient out that she was willing to do that wasn't getting told from the other office. Deal. All right, I feel like I'm doing something there. I had a dispensing for a scleral lens patient. She's a minus like 11, minus 4 sil. The other office that she's been going to has been just not even giving her a progressive, saying that was too hard, and just literally undercorrecting her. She's like, I can't see anything. We got her to 20/20 on the first fit. Now, I think we'll probably have to tweak it a little bit, but that's the art of fitting sclerals. But I got her to 20/20. How amazing is that? Life-changing, right? And on top of that, I had another patient come in for a myopia management consult. All right? Younger kid, progressing kind of rapidly. And the beauty of that is I called the doctor that referred. She's not in a position where she's working right now to do myopia management. And I'm like, hey, thanks for the referral. This is what my game plan is. This is what I'm going to do. You know, are you fine with this? It's your patient too in my mind. I want to make sure I'm still taking care of them. And yeah, it's awesome. I love collaborating with other doctors. She went to ICO. She is from an area that I went to undergrad. So I'm connecting because I'm doing more. And that's fun. Like there's a passion to that, right? There's something that is fun to get up every day and know that's what I'm doing. All right. So don't be a commodity. When you allow yourself to be more than just glasses and contacts, which we can do well, we can do better than everyone else, right? But when you expand to more things than just that, glasses and contacts, not only are you going to set yourself apart, but it's stinking fun, all right? So that's where I'm at. That's what I've had the past few weeks and months. We'll have more for you next week. All my friends, where has the time gone? We're to the closing thought of the episode. Something that we always get asked, or I've heard more often than not, is what would you do if you knew you wouldn't fail? All right. Only recently I was listening to a book. I listen to books on Audible all the time. One, I can listen on 2x speed, so I can knock them out really quick. And then two, when I'm working out getting ready for the day, like getting my charts ready for the office, I can listen to a book or podcast and it just gives me exposure to things. And I love exposure to things. I'll explain how that has helped me in the past few months, but that's another episode. But what was brought to my attention is, what would you do if you knew you were going to fail? Ooh, that's unique, isn't it? What's the core of this, right? If you know you're going to fail, what would you do? Where does this stem from, right? That goes back to, what's your passion? What do you enjoy? What are you not afraid of doing, right? Like, if you really love doing something, I love to work out. If I knew I was going to be in a powerlifting competition and I just don't have it, but I love to work out, I love the chase, okay. Before I had 4 kids, I would do triathlons. I am one of the worst swimmers you'll ever meet in your life, right? But I love to train. I love to do that. I was in great physical shape, right? Did triathlons, right? I liked it. I liked the competition. I like doing, I'm going all in on this, dry eye stuff right now because I am having so much stinking fun with it. I love to read about it. I love to watch YouTube videos on it. I love to talk to my staff about it. I love to talk to my patients about it. That tells you something. What would you do if you knew you're going to fail? Like, if I fail on this, I don't know if I'm going to. I hope I don't. I think I can do it well. But it's so much fun. I think I'm going to be better for it. So I'm going to keep going at it. So kind of take that in perspective. And I'm not saying, hey, go out and fail. What I'm saying is, use that perspective. What do you enjoy so stinking much that even if it doesn't kind of come out the way you want it to, what are you willing to do? And that's where you might want to put some time, effort, and energy. Make yourself better. Make your life more enjoyable. That's what I have for you. Dr. Lily out.
We want to thank you for listening to today's episode and hope that you found a pearl to apply to your practice. We believe as a community, there is much wisdom to be shared. So if you have questions, suggestions, or requests, we want to know. Feel free to reach out to us via social media and leave a comment or email us at theultimateodpodcast@gmail.com so we can make this podcast even better for you. Be sure to subscribe, rate, and review, and we'll catch you again next week.